This is Digital Story Podcast number 686, May 7th, 2019. Today's theme is, I say goodbye, you say hello. I'm Derek Story. It has been a particularly tumultuous spring for me. So far this season, I've had to bid farewell to business relationships, software favorites, and planned investments. This might feel a bit disruptive, but it also opens the door for new adventures as well. This week, I share my goodbyes and hellos, plus I have a terrific interview with my good friend Oliver from Boinks Software. Let's get to it. I guess in some ways you could just say this is business as usual, but I thought this would be a fun way to keep you updated on the things that are going on, and some of them definitely affect you as well. So I'm going to start out with a goodbye, but I have a few hellos as well. We'll roll through these and I'll inform you along the way. My first goodbye, my gig at Skylum Software. For those of you who hang out at the Skylum Facebook public photography page, you might notice that I'm no longer moderating. I was recently informed via email that those operations are now moving back to Ukraine. All right. And that also ends other projects that I had going with Skylum. Now, does that mean that I will no longer use Luminar or Aurora? That does not. That does not. I sincerely like Luminar 3, and I like Luminar Flex, the plugin that they've announced. And I will continue writing about it. I'll continue teaching it, and I'll continue, pulling for them to improve that software so that maybe someday it can compete with Lightroom and Capture One Pro and some of the other more sophisticated software packages out there. Part of the reason why I like Luminar so much is that I can do things to my images that I can't or find very difficult to do with other software packages. So even though I'm no longer on the payroll at Skylum, I still will be using Luminar. And just so you know, I was using Luminar long before I started working with them. Hello, Frederick Van Johnson. Yes. There's a name you might not have heard from me for a while. We recently reconnected, and I'm on an upcoming episode of TWIP, This Week in Photo, and I will probably be there again soon after. So these things are so funny, these professional relationships, although Frederick is a friend also, but sometimes our orbits don't intersect, and we just went through one of those periods. And it was really good to reconnect with him again. We caught up a bit personally. I thought we did a really good show. I'll keep you posted on social as to when the show drops, This Week in Photo that I'm on. But it was really nice to say hello to Frederick Van Johnson again. And hopefully we'll be chatting together a lot more. Goodbye, Aperture Software. For real. So, talk about a slow train going off the tracks, right? But now Apple announces that Aperture will not run on macOS after Mojave. So right now, the most current version of macOS is Mojave. The next big release that has a different name, Aperture will not be able to run on that OS. So those of you that are still hanging on to Aperture, and I know there are a number of you out there, and I understand why. I truly do. So what I recommend for those of you that want to hang on to Aperture as long as possible, get one of your Macs, maybe the Mac that you use for photo production, and just freeze it in time. In other words, go with the latest update on Mojave, but do not move over to the software they release after that, and just keep using Aperture as long as you can. The one thing that will catch up with you sooner or later is that the RAW profile updates are system-wide with Apple. So people have been able to use Aperture and still use fairly modern cameras because those raw profiles, when Apple feels like updating them, are good for preview and photos for Mac OS and Aperture as well. Now that the OS will be moving on and you'll be back at Mojave, that means that subsequent RAW updates probably will not work for you. I doubt that they'll be updating RAW files for Mojave. So just something to keep in mind. But you know, if you're cool with the cameras that you're using right now and you don't care about updating to the latest OS, you can keep using Aperture for basically as long as you want. Hello, Portfolio Box. Well, it looks like our friends at Portfolio Box will be returning for another sponsor run on the Digital Story. And I'm thrilled. I just heard from them and they were saying, hey, what do you say that we do some work together again? And I said, I would love to do that. And, you know, an interesting side note, I've had my Portfolio Box site now for over a year, just a little over a year. And renewal time came, and I did not even think twice. about renewing. I have another year of Portfolio Box Pro, and I anticipate that I will keep going well beyond that. So I'm not sure when we're going to get started with the new campaign. We always try to do something new when they re-up their sponsorship. I'll try to do something fun and creative that I think you'll enjoy. But I wanted you to have that on your radar, that Portfolio Box will be back. The discount will be back. And we're going to try to have some fun and make a beautiful spot to showcase your images. And finally, a temporary goodbye to the VW electric bus in 2020. Now, you don't know the backstory on this, so I will tell you the backstory, and then you'll understand why it's included in this list. For those of you that have been with the podcast for a while, you know about my VW Vanagon. I love that vehicle. It's a 1990, so it's the last year they released VW Vanagons in California, and it has just been a great machine for me. I got it originally for camping, so I wouldn't have to sleep on the ground. It has a sleeper in there, has a queen-size bed, has table, you know, all that kind of stuff. It's just wonderful. And then it was also perfect for workshops. And so I would use it for workshops so that, you know, we could, you know, get 6, 7, 8 people in one vehicle, go off to where we were going to go, and just like all go together. And I didn't have to rent a vehicle, and I, you know, it was kind of fun. And so it just became kind of a beloved part of the whole workshop experience for Digital Story members. Well, then, what was it now? Almost 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, we had an incident with the Vanagon. And it was my own fault. It was my own fault. In that I pushed it too hard. It was one of those blazing hot summer days. I loaded it up just full of stuff from my son's, Max's, dorm room. And it was just, I mean, it was full to the gill, beds, tables, all that kind of stuff. And then in 100 degree plus temperature, I tried to make the trek with all that stuff back to Santa Rosa from Santa Clara, which involves a lot of hills going up 280. And it just couldn't take it. It couldn't take it at 70 miles an hour going up those hills in the heat with all that weight. Max was with me as well. And it just sort of, it didn't die, but it stopped. It just stopped. And I end up having to have it towed back to Santa Rosa that night. And then, you know, I worked on it a little bit, kind of nursed it back. And it runs now. It does run, but it's not quite the same. And in all honesty, I'm not sure that I can trust it to use it for the workshop. So I use it for around town, just kind of hauling stuff around town. And, you know, I enjoy driving it so much. I take it to work on Saturdays, things like that. But I don't consider it a reliable workshop vehicle anymore. And you know me, when I'm doing workshops, I'm very serious about, you know, everything, you know, working well and running smoothly. So what I had my eyes on was this announced VW electric bus, all electric. It's an updated version of the original microbus. If you haven't seen a picture of it, it's very interesting, very modern looking, but it's not a hybrid. It's all electric. It would work perfectly for the workshops. You know, built-in USB, you know, all sorts of just really cool modern stuff. And I thought that originally, my understanding was, that the bus was going to be released in North America in 2020. And I was very excited about this. So I started kind of working on saving up a down payment, and I had a plan. I'm actually going to sell the van again and another car as well. And so I have three cars right now. So I have the Saturn, I have the van again, and then I have the Audi. I don't plan on selling the Audi, you know, ever. But I thought that, you know, I could sell the van again, get a decent price for it, especially for someone that wants to work on it, sell the Saturn, and then just have the Audi and the electric van again. Then I just read this week, it was shared to me actually by my talent producer for the Nimble Photographer podcast, Kelly Richards. It was announced to me through her that production's looking more like 2022 before we see it here in North America. And I was going, oh, because I had been, you know, over the last 2 years, just sort of psyched up for this 2020 purchase. So it's not a forever goodbye, but it's a goodbye for now. I'm going to have to figure something out over the next couple years until VW is ready with this all-electric VW bus. Cross your fingers that they do see it through and that we do see it in North America. And then once they do, we'll be using it on workshops, and that's going to be a blast. An interview with Oliver from Boink Software. So Oliver and I have been friends for a long time. I met him when I was the program chair for the Mac Developer Conference for O'Reilly Media. His company participated in that conference, and he and I got to know each other, and so then we worked together professionally, but then we also became friends. And when I went out to Germany for Photokina, I would add a side trip up to Munich, where Oliver lived in those days, to stay with him, and we'd hang out, and he showed me many wonderful things in Germany over the years, including the real Oktoberfest, including the Audi factory where my car was made, you know, fun stuff like that. And then when Oliver comes out here for the Apple Developer Conference or for his work in San Jose and things like that, then he usually adds on a couple days, comes up to the studio and stays up here, and then maybe heads to the golf course or something like that for fun. So it's always good to see him, whether I'm there or he's here. And this time, when he came out, I wanted to record him talking about MIMO Live, because MIMO Live is software that I fell in love with when I started doing the Nimble Classroom. It is a full-on production studio that just sits right there on your Mac. And it is beautiful, and it is not hard to learn, and it is powerful. And the thing that I liked about it is that I could stream my broadcast to my Nimble Classroom participants. I could be on camera doing live action. I could do screen sharing. I could have lower thirds. I could have transitions. I could do all the cool stuff that you would do with any live television production. And at the same time, it'd record a high-quality version on the Mac, so then I could give them those files later on, and they could watch the movies again. So I just thought that this was the perfect thing that I needed at the time, and I've wanted to talk about it for some time. With Oliver coming out, and then with them adding a podcast component to it as well, I thought, now is the time. I think those of you that are thinking about streaming content or doing podcasts or any of that kind of stuff, you'll be very interested in what Oliver has to say. Let's jump over to the studio right now and say hello to Oliver of Boink Software. So I wanted to talk about MIMO Live today. We haven't talked about this on the podcast. It's software from your company, Boing Software, that I really like a lot. And I started using it for my Nimble classroom.
NimbleLife started a couple of centuries ago, actually, because when I was a kid, I wanted to have a TV studio in my living room. And I was playing, you know, being the news anchor, and we were having music shows in the living room, and that was kind of a thing that never left my imagination. So in about 2005, 2006, 2007, around that time, we got a call from Apple, and they had a customer who wanted to run their TV station on the Mac, and they needed some graphics. And so we got to do some custom development for them. That job, we learned how we wanted to do it. And so we figured out a way. We thought, you know, it's interesting how these guys do it. It's a professional TV production system. But we wanted to make it much, much easier. We wanted to let go of all the old, you know, broadcast things that developed because you had to do it because it was analog technology, you know, the whole thing with the preview and crossbar and things that made it difficult for people to create their own programs, because you had to get like a broadcast degree to work this equipment. And so we wanted to make it much, much easier. And we set out, looked at, you know, what software can do, what the computer can do, and then we just created the software which allows you to switch multiple video sources. So it's a video switcher. It can do graphics, so it's a graphics generator. It can do all kinds of cool stuff, and everything is just in software, and it's easy to use. We have got a lot of schools using it for morning announcements, students running the TV station for the school. So, and also we have a number of high profile customers doing professional work. And so that's one of the things that we want to do in our application, our products, is always we want to make it so powerful that the professionals want to use it, and so easy to use that the kids at school can use it. And NimbleLife is exactly in that category. It's a TV station in a box. It's a broadcast truck without the truck. It's a full-blown live video production system. And
the reason why I wanted to use it for the Nimble Classroom was it did a few things very easily. One is I could stream live.
Yes.
You know, so that was really important to me.
Mm-hmm.
The second is I did want it to look professional. I did want lower third titles. I did want transitions. Mm-hmm. You know, all that kind of stuff. I wanted to be able to switch from one camera to another. I wanted to be able to, like, turn things off, because it works on this layered stack method. So you can just turn on and off sources and things like that just with a click of a button. The other thing I wanted to do that I thought was really important was record to disk. So not only did I want to stream it out there, I wanted to have a high resolution copy that I could distribute later on. And it does that really well. Plus I have controls for audio, I have controls for video, you know, all that kind of stuff. And it wasn't that hard to learn, in all honesty. It was, and when you first look at the interface, there's a lot going on. But you just sort of have to learn, you know, kind of what each area does. And once you do that, it's very intuitive.
It has a very simple structure and a lot of options in each part of it. So you've got a lot of sources. You've got options of the sources. You can have filters. There's a lot of these layers that work like in Photoshop. If you're familiar with Photoshop, the image you see is composed of things that are put into the layers, and then all the layers work together to make the final image. And NimbleLife works on exactly the same metaphor, and each layer can have dozens of variations, and there's lots of things you can adjust. Like if you have one layer that does a lower third, so you can change the background, you can change the animation, you can change text, you can change the text style, you can change the color, and you can change, you know, the position, you can change a lot of things, and that makes it look daunting, but it's really just very simple because it's just a lot of parameters you can fiddle with, but you don't have to because you can use the lower third just as it is. You don't have to dig into and dive into, find out how it works in every nook and cranny. And
plus you provide templates.
And we provide templates, yeah. And
very helpful.
The next version is going to be taking that concept a little further even, so we will have many more templates that show people how to use Numerai for various use cases.
So let's talk about a few uses for this software that people might not realize. Education is a big one, right?
Yes.
You know, especially
yes.
online education, the way that I used it. But what are some other other customers doing?
Education is a good topic because it has a lot of uses in education. So, for example, we've got universities, and we've got one partner in the United States building something called the One Button Studio Plus, which is basically a system for universities where lecturers can go into a room, and there's like they can bring their presentation on a stick. They can bring a second memory stick, and they just plug the sticks in, and then the system sets itself up, and then you have a green screen, and you can there's like five or six choices you can have for where you want to be your presentation in the video, and then you can just do the presentation, and there's a foot pedal that starts and stops the thing, and so it's very easy. You get into the Zoom plugin, your presentation plugin, the stick where you want to have your recording, get in front of the screen, press the start recording button with your food, do your presentation, stop recording. And so it's very easy, very quick, and very fast to create recordings of lectures that way. And that's one use in education. The other use in education that I like much more is like, giving kids the power to run their own TV program. Schools are starting to put Numerai into their studios, and the kids can do a newscast, news show, weather forecast. We've got schools who do live streaming with their sports events and their theater performances and things like that. And the whole thing is run by the students, and that's I think is very, very cool because they are very enthusiastic, and they like to do things, and they learn a lot of important skills doing it, and they have fun doing it, and that's kind of the best thing that can happen with software like that. And then we have a very, very wide range of use cases. So, for example, there are people who use it, of course, to power their YouTube channel. So we have example is a young couple in Israel doing a fitness shows, frequent live streams of join in with the exercise. And we have churches live streaming their sermons, and people can watch that are not physically able to come into the church. We've got people streaming their weddings. We've got people doing sports events. We've got all kinds of interesting use cases, and satisfying for us to see because we see how many people we can empower to do cool stuff.
Absolutely. I mean, it's so flexible. One of the things that right away I liked is that I could be on camera, so I could be doing live stream talking directly to the audience, and then I could switch and do screen capture and be showing them a technique, showing them pictures or whatever on the screen, and then come back to live camera. And it's all just clicking buttons in the layer there to move from, you know, one space to the other. But now you told me something, and this is really got me excited because this solves a problem for me personally. Mm-hmm. You have another kind of a plugin architecture called MimoCall, right?
Yes, MimoCall.
So we have MimoCall, which allows to do, you know, phone in interview kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And so now you're evolving the application so that podcasters and people can use the software to do high quality interviews with remote subjects.
Mm-hmm.
This is a big deal because right now our options are pretty slim. Skype is what I use most of the time, and I know the quality for this is going to be better than Skype. So this isn't out yet, so can you give us a little behind-the-scenes preview of this?
So MimoCall, we created MimoCall a couple of years ago when it wasn't easy to integrate Skype or other video call systems in FaceTime or whatever, and it's still not easy to do that. We wanted it to be so that our users can just send out a URL to the interview partners, and they would just have to have a Chrome browser. It used to be a Chrome browser, but now it's actually also other browsers, but just have to have the browser open the URL we sent them, and they would be instantly connected. And the advantage of that is that you don't have to set up like an account, you don't have to download additional software. It's just much more frictionless to set up. It's not a video calling, video conferencing solution. It only enables, you know, to call into the studio or into the MimoLife production. Very specialized system that way. And one of our customer early users came and said, you know, I want to use this, play music over it. And so we said, it have to happen for you to be able to use it that way. And he said, we need hi-fi quality sound. And so we looked at the technology and we started to do tweaks to make the audio quality better. And our advantage over, you know, Skype or other systems is that we don't have to optimize for bandwidth. MimoCall is a peer-to-peer system. So there is a possibility to do a relay over a server if we need to do it, because both parties can't talk to each other directly. All in all, it's a peer-to-peer service, so we don't have to optimize for bandwidth use like Skype or other systems have to do, just for economic reasons. We don't want to scale to millions of users using our software to call their aunts or, you know.
So you can have a bigger pipe?
We can have a bigger pipe and we can focus on the quality of the sound.
Mm-hmm.
With the new version, what we're working on right now is that you can have you have these MIMO calls and you can have, we will ship a template that allows you to just get started really fast with having one or two or three people doing a podcast together, and we will enable it so that you can save the audio only. So you can save every caller's audio in a separate file. And that's very important for podcasters, so they can go in and edit stuff. They need to have the tracks separated. So if people talk over each other, then you can still edit it. It's not baked into the recording. So that's one of the things we're working on, is like making it so that right now you can only save the program out, but we will change that so that the complete mix down, we will make it so that you can save separate files for different sources and also sources without video. So it's audio only files.
Wow.
That's a big change that's coming up.
Will that be by the end of the year, do you think?
Or no, that's going to be in the next couple of weeks. Yeah, very soon.
Okay.
Very
soon. That's exciting. Now, I know that there are different licenses for MimoLive. So why don't we just give, in broad brushstrokes, just give people a feel for, you know, can you get in at a fairly affordable license?
First of all, there's a free demo.
Mm-hmm.
So you can just download the software and can use it, and it will work. Watermark in it, so you can't use it for real work, but you can play around with it. If you like it and if you want to, then we have a non-profit version, and the non-profit version is $200 a year. That's for schools, that's for people who are doing their YouTube videos or podcasts with no commercial intention. And for teachers and students and the like, that's the non-profit version. If you are doing commercial video production, and we've got a lot of customers doing that, of course, then the license is $700 a year. And we do have a version for broadcasters, mainly, you know, if you have a really large audience, if you want a little bit more personal support, that's $2,000 a year. We've got something for everybody.
Okay, so podcasters, educators, wannabe broadcasters.
Yeah.
The software is something you should take a look at.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Oliver. It's so great to see you, and thanks for telling us about MIMO Live.
I hope we'll do this again soon.
Absolutely. All right. Thanks so much, Oliver. And I tell you, MIMO Live is wonderful stuff. I have a link to it in the show notes. You definitely want to check it out. Like we talked about, it's great for education. It's great for solopreneurs. It's great for businesses. And now it's great for podcasters as well. Terrific software. I love using it. And I'm so glad that Oliver and I got to talk about it. And finally, a big thanks to our Inner Circle members. We have some more signups right now, and I'm just thrilled to have the new folks on board. And I tell you, that area, the Inner Circle area, has become an area that I've become quite fond of. You know, when we first started working with Patreon, I knew it was a good thing. I knew that it was going to help this show, and I had a feeling it was going to be good for our community. But it took a while for me to really figure out, you know, what to do over there at the Inner Circle. And then it's finally dawned on me in recent history now that it is a place where it can be truly an Inner Circle. In other words, where I can share information there that I can't talk about, you know, publicly, like on this podcast or on the Nimble Photographer podcast or when I'm on other shows. I can do behind the scenes stuff. I can provide insights to things that are happening that I can talk freely about, and I can share content. I can do tutorials. We can do portfolio reviews, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, once I figured out that it was this really neat place of, you know, trusted supporters that's private because it's not searchable outside the web, then I go, this is what this is about. And now not only has the Inner Circle become a vital part of keeping this podcast and allowing the Nimble Photographer podcast to get going, it's also just a great area where we get to hang out with each other and I get to bounce ideas off people and so forth. If you're interested in supporting the show, supporting the Nimble Photographer podcast, and just keeping things going, then just click on the Patreon tile that's on all the pages of the Digital Story. Go over there and take a look at what's going on. Become a supporter of the Inner Circle. We can just talk about art and photography and talk about it in the way that we want. Anyway, big thanks to all of our Patreon members. I really appreciate your support, and I also appreciate your camaraderie. And finally, a big thanks to our friends at Red River Paper, the longest running supporter of the Digital Story. They have a great Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. They also have a tile that runs on all the pages of the Digital Story that'll take you over to our landing page. And once you go over to their site, you can shop for paper, supplies, tutorials, read reviews, and then just learn about, you know, output in general. They are one-stop shopping for those that are interested in making great prints, fine art greeting cards, and other tangible items that you can hold in your hand. Complete the artistic arc by not only creating the image, by editing the image, but then also outputting the image, put it on a wall, hand it to a friend, give them a fine art greeting card, and just watch their face light up. And a big thanks to our friends at Red River Paper for making that possible. All right, that's going to do it for me this week. I so enjoyed my time with you. I hope you enjoyed the update and the interview with Oliver. I'm working on more things for next week. Come back then. Until then, have a great week. Bye-bye now.